Hello, fellow babies, and welcome to Required Reading, the podcast that usually revisits the most impactful books from our childhood. I'm your host, Erin Bowles. I'm a writer, actor, and comedian. Can you hear so softly, ever so softly, the opening credits of The Fly playing in the background with real-life couple Jeff Goldblum and Gina Davis? If you don't know this, Gina Davis is one of my favorite people of all time. Olympian, by the way. I went to Congress in the name of Gina Davis. What? Yeah, another lore drop. First off, I'm looking at a jawbone that I found in the side of the road in Wyoming when I went to pee. Oh my god, there's Gina Davis. Okay, this episode is a little different, so let me tell you. This month, I was very, very, very zealous with my scheduling. I was very proud of myself, and then of course, God struck me down. I got sick, and then I had to go on a last-minute trip. Got to. So my schedule looks now, maybe like Chernobyl. Is that insensitive? You know, Chernobyl after the incident. The unpleasantness, as some might say. So this is going to be an episode about Halloween movies. If you really want to hear my thoughts, if you want a accompaniment here, that's what I'll say. Go to my Letterboxd. I believe my handle is at Erin R. Bowles. It's the same everywhere. Is my cat gonna light that candle? Turn that candle. My cat loves candles. Can you hear it crackling? Have the same handle on all platforms if you want to be found. The brand must be consistent. Okay? If you want a companion piece, go to my Letterboxd. I have a list called Halloween Eternal. That list is like minimum 8 years old. And I want to talk to you about some of my favorite Halloween movies. I never end up watching as many as I want to, you know? And I'm recording this episode on the 23rd of October. My tradition for about 6, 7, 8 years is that I would work my way through this letterbox list alphabetically. That just makes the most sense to me. I do most things in my life alphabetically. Starting with, on October 1st, An American Werewolf in London. It's got some great things. It's got Frank Oz. If you didn't know, Frank Oz, voice of Miss Piggy, critical figure in The Muppets. And The Muppets do make an appearance in that film in a scene I hate. It's a scene that I always mute, tragically. Griffin Dunne is amazing. But every year, oh, and it's got Bad Moon Rising. Fantastic, fantastic. Can you hear the candle sizzle? Can you hear the candle sizzle? Okay. God, Gina Davis looks amazing. In An American Werewolf in London, a man ends up in a hospital, right? The nurse that's treating him, like, falls for him. And as soon as he's released from the hospital, he goes to stay at her apartment. They start an affair. And every time I watch it, it's just increasingly yucky. You know, not in the body horror way, in the medical malpractice way. So this is the year that comes off the list. R.I.P. Let me pull up the list. What else is on there? Crimson Peak is fantastic. It's up there in the alphabet, so we get to it pretty early and pretty consistently. Ugh. I'm very... Oh, wow. Actually, so I just opened Letterboxd, right? And the first thing on New For My Friends is someone watched Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Classic Hollywood. Yes, you have to watch the 1931 version with Frederick March. Frederick March is probably my favorite classic Hollywood male actor. Underrated. I know. That's like, I know. It's like, you know, the high school version of me that said, well, my favorite Wes Anderson is the Darjeeling Limited, because no one would say that, you know? It's like someone saying they love the LA Clippers instead of the Lakers. I was just thinking about putting that as a joke in a screenplay, but never mind. You have to watch the Frederick March version, because Spencer Tracy, he's just got a type, you know? He's an aw shucks guy. He can't play Mr. Hyde. And Ingrid Bergman is cast against type. And oh my god, it's the moment in The Fly where Gina Davis takes off her stockings. Wow. And she's in this leather coat. Damn. The Fly is like, will be on this list and then comes off of it and we'll come back onto it. And I think I'm gonna put it back on. But you have to watch the 1931 version, because the one in the 40s, like Ingrid Bergman, I respect anytime someone tries to play against type, she can't sell the sex worker. And Lana Turner is cast as like the perfect virginal one. I mean, it's you know, the types are there because they work. It's ambitious in a way that they didn't dedicate themselves to it. Okay, what I'm saying is Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde with Frederick March. It's from 1931. Definitely watch it. It's got Miriam Hopkins. You must see Miriam Hopkins at one point in your life. Like, maybe, if not this one, there, one of my favorite films of all time has Frederick March, has Miriam Hopkins, has Gary Cooper. It's directed by Ernst Lubitsch, who is, like, the one person that I'm like, that is someone that is dead that I wish I could work with. It's called Design for Living. You want to talk about pre-code Hollywood? Okay, looking at this list, Beetlejuice. Speaking of Gina Davis, I'm a little, like, burnt out on Beetlejuice the last couple of years. I did not see the sequel. I just didn't feel... Then, Marylanders Unite. The next one is Blair Witch Project. So I had never seen Blair Witch Project until I was in college, right? And then I saw it, and it really traumatized me. It's a traumatizing film, of course. The reason it traumatized me is because I got lost in those woods when I was 10 years old. Blair Witch Project is set and was filmed in Maryland. And I got lost in woods about 45 minutes away from that during a 6th grade outdoor education trip. It's a whole story, but I got lost in those woods, right? It was bad. I had nightmares for minimum a week. My very last, I think, college class ever, like I never walked into a classroom after this. It was like a in-class essay, final exam, where, and you were told about this beforehand, but you had to find a film that was either shot in or set in your hometown. And this was a cinema studies class taught by Chad. Shout out, Chad. Love him. And you have to talk about whether or not they successfully created an accurate sense of place and how that was created or poorly created. And I chose Blair Witch Project because that is an effective film. The next one on my list is Bram Stoker's Dracula, directed by Francis Ford Coppola. Now, this film, you have to at least see it once. You know, some years I see this on the list and I go, oh. Some years I'm excited. I'm down for it. This year I'm not going to watch it because it's not available on streaming. Side note, I'm becoming a big DVD person. Oh, my cat is going to try to attack this lit candle. Come on, girl. But I have to just say this. I hate Gary Oldman. I hate that man. I loathe that man. That man in the 90s tried to strangle his wife with a telephone cord. Okay. Okay. He plays sleazy characters because he is a sleazy character. Next, Clue. I have only seen Clue once in my life, and it was last year. I didn't grow up with it like other people did. I love it. Obviously, Tim Curry. Tim Curry's memoir might have come out like today or tomorrow or yesterday. Tim Curry's, oh my God, wow. That's what I'm asking for Christmas. What was next? Oh my gosh, I'm not even watching The Fly. Oh my God, it's the cheeseburger scene. Okay, you know what? We have to be present in the moment. Remind me to talk to you about Clue. Hello, fellow babies. It's the next day. Are you ready to resume? I've got my cat on my chest, my little black cat. She's in season. And Clue is playing. Clue, I don't think, is available to stream anywhere right now, except for the library app Hoopla through the LA Public Library. Oh, gosh. And it's produced by Deborah Hill. You should look up Deborah Hill. Talk about a Halloween queen. I was thinking earlier today, you know, I should just cut to the chase. The quintessential Halloween movie for me, Aaron Robertson Bowles, is Halloween Town. Obviously, it's the perfect vibe. The aesthetics are great. It was on all of the time when I was growing up. Kimberly J. Brown is from the town next to mine. And it's just adorable. I mean, and the last moment where all of the family are holding hands, it gets me every time. Halloween Town 2 is one of the few films that are, the few sequels that are just as fantastic as the original. By the way, Psycho 2, a great film, but not on the list. And in case no one has told you, the romantic leads in Halloween Town 2 are now married. But those are fantastic. I mean, Debbie Reynolds, Corpse Bride is often, just continuing with the list in alphabetical order, Corpse Bride is often on the list. Oh, Tim Curry. Did I tell you about his memoir? It's out. I do have complicated feelings, though, because, of course, Corpse Bride, Johnny Depp, who's disgusting. Crimson Peak, Dr. Jekyll, oh, The Faculty. Now, that's just a great film. And sometimes I'll watch it in September, because it is, of course, also sort of back to school vibes, but that is just a fantastic, fantastic film. What reviews have I written of this film? I'm on Letterboxd, of course, as I said, Usher. Is in that movie. Okay, my two Letterboxd reviews are both 4.5s. Dune and the French Dispatch wish they had this cast. That was a very timely review when it was published. I have to pee so bad, but my cat is asleep in my lap. This never happens, but IDK if I can even move to put on Ginger Snaps next. Classic. That's my cat, Texas Toast, who's not the one who's currently on me. That's Bear. Okay, the next one, Fright Night. Oh my god, Fright Night. I mean, talk about actors who love to live deliciously. Obviously, Tim Curry, but also Chris Sarandon, who plays the villain in that. And by the way, most people know Chris Sarandon as Prince Humperdinck, and he's fantastic in that. He's fantastic in Fright Night. He's also fantastic in Dog Day Afternoon, which is just an incredible film, and he plays a trans woman, which obviously he's not a trans woman, but like a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful film and heartfelt depiction. And speaking of queer, Fright Night, I don't know if it was originally intended this way, but you can read some academia about reading Fright Night as a metaphor for AIDS, and it's definitely, like, textually the best friend in that, to me, is queer, obviously, but that's a fantastic film. Next up, this is the first year that this film has been on the list, and I haven't rewatched it yet, I've only seen it once, but The Ghost and Mrs. Muir. Not the television series from the 80s, no, the film from, I think, the 40s, black and white, with Gene Tierney and Rex Harrison. The Ghost of Mrs. Muir is about a widow who moves into a house, and it's haunted, and she falls in love with the ghost of, like, a crotchety old pirate. It's, or not pirate, but ship's captain. It's so cute. The only downside to this and I Married a Witch, which is a quintessential film on this list. Also, classic Hollywood stars Frederick March and Veronica Lake. It's like a quintessential Veronica Lake performance. And is that they're in black and white. Like, the vibes are fantastic, but they're in black and white, which is normally fine. But, like, to me, Halloween is all about the oranges, a color I hate any other time of year. Next, Ginger Snaps. Ginger Snaps. If you've never seen Ginger Snaps, you need to. It's from, I think, 2000, indie Canadian film, I think directed by John Fawcett, who went on to do Orphan Black. Remember Orphan Black? Ginger Snaps is about two high school sisters who are obsessed with death, and one gets bitten by a werewolf. And it's about girlhood, and it's like one. It's so close to Jennifer's Body, which of course is on this list. In a close way, in a spiritually close way. I mean, there are these two shots. You know what I'm talking about. Oh, who the heck is that? Is it UPS? It was UPS. You won't believe the perfect timing of this. My Halloween requested care package from my parents just arrived, and I think it's full of DVDs. Oh, I also need to turn on the coffee machine. Oh my goodness, this is so exciting. It's unboxing. Oh my goodness. Oh, a lot of DVDs. Ow, I just punched myself in the boob. Okay, oh my gosh, wow. Wow, Halloween Town High. Wow, there's Ella Enchanted, High School Musical, Sky High. Ugh, that's a Halloween movie, even though it is and it isn't. Oh my gosh, a little headband with a little witch's hat, a card, brown paper for the cats to play with. The House of Mirth, starring Gillian Anderson. One day I'll do that on the podcast, because there's a lot of lore. Earrings? I don't have earrings. Oh, it's the little charm for my charm necklace that I requested. Oh, thank you, Mommy. Pez, who the heck is this? Oh, this is the girl from Nightmare Before Christmas and some all Halloween lights. Aww. Thank you. So cute. Oh, and Merlin season one is also in here. That, Merlin's season one is essential to my entry into the entertainment industry, but that's a story for another time. Hopefully one day I will get to meet Anthony Stewart Head and tell him that there's a specific shot of him, whatever. Actually, I hope I don't meet him. You know, it's like why I am sort of glad that Joan Didion died before I could ever be in a position to meet her, you know? Maybe one day I'll expand on that thought. Okay, next on the list is Hocus Pocus, which I think sort of needs no explanation. I'm never going to defend the cinematic quality of this film. My parents, I didn't realize this until fairly later on in my childhood, hated this movie. That's very generous of you because I did watch it a fair amount. It's got the vibes. It has unquestionably the vibes. And then, of course, it's the great pumpkin Charlie Brown. Again, goes without saying. Although I will say one of my most, perhaps my most controversial take is that I don't enjoy the interludes where Snoopy is a pilot. It does nothing for me. Okay? And I generally don't like characters that are mute. Not to say anything about people in real life who are mute, but it just doesn't... I'm a dialogue baby. Have you listened? I have a podcast. You know how much I love to talk. How much I love talk. How much I love chatter. Okay. What's next? Oh! Next on the list. King Vincent Price himself, House on a Haunted Hill. So delightful. So delicious. It is so depressing that, like, Carol Omart, who's in that, I don't think was in a whole lot of films because she's incredible. House on Haunted Hill is just, like, it's delicious. It's a wonderful haunted house film, and it works. Next is Interview with a Vampire, which I haven't seen a lot, but it's got the colors, the vibes. You get it. And also, like, Tom Cruise is living deliciously in that film, you know? I keep using the phrase live deliciously that I pulled from The Witch from 2015, which is a fantastic film. Not really on this list simply because it's so bleak. You know, this is a fun times list. But that's a good film. I should rewatch that. And that has the vibes, of course. Then is Invisible Man with Claude Rains, which I've only seen once, but I remember like for a 30s horror movie being like very affected. Jennifer's Body, and of course, Lisa Frankenstein. Lisa Frankenstein is my favorite film of all time. They're both written by Diablo Cody. When Lisa Frankenstein came out a couple years ago, everyone was like, it's not Jennifer's Body. It's like, yeah. Yeah, because they already made that movie. Jennifer's Body is directed by Karin Kusama, who's like a horror director. Of course it's different. That's rude to Diablo Cody. Frankly, who wrote both, Oscar winner Diablo Cody. I have The Last Man on Earth in here, which I haven't seen, which is a Vincent Price movie. I have a couple of Vincent Price movies in here that I haven't seen. Next is Little Shop of Horrors, which I usually don't get around to every year, but a fantastic film. I mean, Steve Martin. Actually, I briefly, as a child, wanted to be a dentist. Have I dropped that lore before? Once someone said to me, I think it was Madeline who did The Princess Bride on the show, and Aragon, that I have so much lore, and that really fluffed my ego to a dangerous extent. Oh, and the next is Midnight Mass, which is a miniseries, and Mike Flanagan is a fantastic creator. That is, I think, my favorite season of, you know, all of his work on Netflix. Sadly, I don't have Netflix anymore, so I can't watch it. They should put that out on DVD. I would buy that DVD. Next, Night of the Living Dead. Which I don't revisit a ton, but, like, I mean, not only is a great film, like, a critical piece of cinema history. Speaking of critical pieces of cinema history and Deborah Hill, yes, I've seen Halloween. But it's not on the list because that whole movie, like, visually is, like, blue and green. There is nary a jack-o'-lantern in it, okay? Then I have Nosferatu from last year, which I've only seen once, and mostly it's on this list because, like, I think I need to give it a second chance. Like, obviously, it's a gorgeous film, but when I was watching it in the theater, I was just, like, completely emotionally untouched. And then I have the Isabel Adjani version from 79, which is the same sort of thing. Like, I remember being really impressed by it, but I need to see it again. Next, oh my god, another DCOM starring Ally Michalka Now You See It, which is about a reality show starring teens of who will be the next American teen magician. And it's so good. Over the Garden Wall is next. That is something that I just bought a DVD of because I want to have it on like silently in the background constantly. That is the vibe. That is the vibe. The end. Potatoes and molasses. If you want some, oh, just ask us. It's warm and soft like puppies and socks, filled with cream and candy rocks. Oh, potatoes. Okay. Next is another Vincent Price film, The Pit and the Pendulum, which I've seen. I think that should be removed from the list. Next is Poltergeist, which I've never seen. Oh my god. Next is Possession, starring Sam Neill and Isabelle Adjani. This is an extremely divisive film. I love it. I saw it in college once on like my shitty little laptop. And then pretty early on when I moved to LA, I took my friend Brandon, who was an early episode, who did The Lightning Thief, Percy Jackson, and my boyfriend to go see it. And I was like in between them, loving it, licking it up. Oh, there's a milk scene in that. Actually, and I'm going to bring up Possession in an upcoming episode when we talk about Misery. I'm reading Misery right now, which is a great thing to be reading in the final weeks of October. They clearly like were not jazzed by it. And that's okay. It's a divisive film, but I love it. Next, again, a quintessential one, Practical Magic. Duh. A beautiful film. My favorite cinematic kiss, maybe. This kiss. Faith Hill was a big part of my childhood. Not like that my mom would play her music, but that she was always on the radio. And Goran Visnjic plays the dead boyfriend in that. And he plays also a totally different character, but maybe one of my favorite characters on ER. By the way, I just got a bunch of DVDs a couple weeks ago from a woman on like Trash Nothing or whatever. And she had like 13 seasons of ER. Bless you to that lady, whatever her name was. Then Prince of Darkness is on here. I'm questioning whether or not that should be on here. Next is The Raven, which is Vincent Price and Peter Lorre. Vincent Price and Roger Corman did all of these like collaborations of Edgar Allan Poe movies. And The Raven, I think, is the last one. And it's like they did all of them. And they're like, okay, now let's do a silly one. It's so fun. Peter Lorre spends like a lot of the movie in a bird suit. And it's hysterical. And it's so fun. Next is Rocky Horror Picture Show. Duh. Next is just any old Scooby-Doo movie I like, which is a placeholder for just like watch Scooby-Doo. Both versions of Suspiria. The remake from 2019 is astonishing. It's astonishing. You should watch it. Next is Urban Legend, which to me goes like hand in hand with The Faculty for like obvious reasons, like, you know, young adult ensemble film from the late 90s. And it's great. I love it. Next is The Village, which I rarely get to, and I think can also be classified as like a November film. I have some very specific thoughts about what counts as a November film. Like The Shining is not a Halloween movie. It's a November film. The Thing, a film I love, not a Halloween movie, a November movie. Next, Wallace and Gromit and The Curse of the Were-Rabbit. Duh. I'm a huge Wallace and Gromit fan, always have been. The scariest film I've ever seen is actually a short film that traumatized me from a Aardman Studios, they do Wallace and Gromit, VHS of a bunch of different shorts, and it's called Not Without My Handbag. It's about a girl whose aunt dies and then comes back from the dead, claws her way out of hell because she forgot her purse. And of course the devil is French, because it's a British company. Curse of the Were-Rabbit is so funny, and I asked my parents to send me a bunch of DVDs, and it was like 2 days ago that I was like, oh, I forgot to ask for Wallace and Gromit and The Curse of the Were-Rabbit. Devastating. And then The Worst Witch, Tim Curry's third appearance. I don't think I'm ever actually going to watch the whole thing ever again, just the clip. And then Young Frankenstein, which I'm eager to revisit. And that's 30 minutes of me babbling. And now it's time to actually get back to watching Clue. Coming up on the podcast, if everything stays scheduled, we've got The Way of Kings by Brandon Sanderson, 1,000-page book, Misery, like I mentioned, Angus thongs and full frontal snogging, I think. I'm not looking at my calendar. My cat has worms again. Ugh. Ugh. If you'd like to support the podcast or my DVD collection, please go to buymeacoffee.com/requiredreading. Thanks for all the love. Happy Halloween!